Welcome to another inspiring podcast from True North Church. We hope this message encourages and blesses you. For more information about our church, please visit truenorthak.org.
Well, hi, church. Hi, friends. So good to have you here with us today. And I know some of you, maybe you're joining us online, or maybe you're a part of our church regularly, but we're so glad to have you here. I'm in a series called The Place Called This. And I want to take us to a passage where we've been looking at Mark chapter 4. In fact, it's on the screen here. Let's go to Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. And it says, as evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, his Christ followers, those who followed him, let's cross to the other side of the lake. So they took Jesus in the boat and started out leaving the crowds behind. They practiced social distancing there. You see that? Leaving the crowd behind, although other boats followed. But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill the water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat. How many of you ever felt like Jesus was asleep on your boat? And Jesus was asleep in the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him up shouting, teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown? When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, silence, be still. Suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. Then he asked his disciples, or asked them, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? The disciples were absolutely terrified. Who is this man? They asked each other. Even the winds and the waves obey him. The story is about Jesus, who had just finished the first four chapters of Mark, talk about his birth, John the Baptist, and then it walks into, he starts teaching some parables and some didactic teachings where he's teaching some principles and life principles regarding Jesus. And then he hops into a boat. He's in a boat teaching, actually, and he tells his disciples, hey, we're here, but I want to go to the other side, over there. Let's go from here to there. And so they hop into the boat, they take Jesus with him, and it says a storm comes up. As they cross the Sea of Galilee, a storm comes, and that's the place called this. We're here, and there's there, but we're in a place called this. In fact, you know, 6.6 million Americans this week applied for financial help. They applied for unemployment. They're in a place called this. This is between here and there. We're here, we wanna be there, but we're in this. Jesus says, let's cross the other side. And if you're watching today, I wanna talk about a place called this in this series. And today I wanna talk about our float mates in this whole process, those in our boat with us. But maybe I read an article today, it's interesting, that over in Europe now, the crisis has gone on longer, that they've actually developed code words for pharmacies called home-19. Not COVID-19, home-19, because domestic violence is rampant over there because they're quarantined in homes with people who already maybe were abusive. And there's people in a place called this. A storm is raging between here and there. And maybe you're watching this and you're in that type of storm right now. You're between here and there. It's a financial storm, it's a relational storm, it's a marriage storm, it's a family storm. You're in a place called this. And there's three parts to this series. And last week we talked about the place called this. We talked about how you can't go from here to there without going through this. Today we're gonna talk about the power of the right float mates. Who do you have in the boat with you? And then next Sunday we're gonna look at this. The who that is above all of this. Who is this the winds and the waves obey? Let me just say something as you're watching. God is above all this. God in the Bible walked on walked on the water. In this story, he calmed the storm. He's above all this. I want to talk today about our float mates, those in our boat with us, those caught in the storm. And I want to revisit this passage. It says, as evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, let's cross to the other side. And let's is an apostrophe. Yes, it stands for let us. Let's together go. In other words, In other words, there's people in your boat with you, with Jesus, that are traveling from here to there. And it says, let us cross the other side of the lake. So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind. In fact, I heard someone say this, a leadership principle. You can't lead the orchestra if you don't turn your back on the crowd. Some of us want to bring everyone along with us in life, and the reality is you can't take everyone with you if you're going to lead the type of life that God might want you to lead. It says, leave the crowds behind, although other boats followed, but soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. And Jesus was sleeping in the back of the boat with his head on the cushion. Disciples woke him shouting, teacher, don't you care that we're gonna drown? And I wanna talk about the power of the right float mates, because here's what's scary. In this story, there's a group of disciples. There's 12 disciples, there's Jesus. There's at least 13 people in this boat. And when the waves came up, there's some that were rowing a boat. These were pre-motorized boats. These were rowboats. They were larger, but there was people that literally were rowing. There was people that when the waves broke over, they were paling. They were taking water and dumping it out of the boat. And I just wonder if you have, and my question for you is, do you have the right float mates in your life? The only way to get from here to there is to go through this. I don't know what your this is. Maybe your this is a struggle with sobriety. Maybe your this is a struggle with your identity. Maybe your this is a struggle with trying to navigate life and have financial stability and strong relationships. And maybe there's codependency, or maybe, I don't know what your this is right now, but do you have the right people in your boat during your this? Because you have to get from here to there, you have to get through this. And I want to talk about the right float mates. And I think this might be one of the most important messages some of you've ever heard. Because I believe this, our relationships and our float mates are so important. You know, I read this the other day. American Sociologist Review said this. The average American has two close friends. Say it again. The average American has two close friends. And then they went on to say, and 25% of America can't name one close friend. And here's my fear. When I hear that, and you're isolated and quarantined in this season right now, or stay at home and you're hunkering down and you're working from home, if you don't have the right pocket of people, the right friendship network, 25 years ago, the same article said 25 years ago, the average American had six close friends. I want to do something right now. Take out a piece of paper, or if you're on your phone, open up the app where you can take notes. And I want you to write down the list of your closest five friends. Now, that means outside your family. Can't pick your family. Some of you are like, I wouldn't pick them anyway. You can't pick your family. You can't, imaginary friends don't count. Pet rocks don't count. Five friends. You might want to push this on pause for a second. There have been times I couldn't write five really close friends down. I'm a guy that travels fast. I don't always take time to develop friendships. And I can say at this time in my life, I've got great friends. I've got great friends. In fact, one of my best friends right now is recovering from brain surgery. And it's hard to know that I couldn't even be there for him, but I've been there in prayer. But you know why I said name your top five friends? Because you are the average of your five closest friends. My mom always said, show me your friends, I'll show you your future. But you're the average of your five friends. You're probably the average of them financially. You're the average of your top five friends in regards to morality. Do you have the right pocket of people encouraging you to live your life in the right way? Spiritually, if you're pursuing God with all your heart, you're probably the average of your top five friends. But if you have five friends and four of them don't serve Jesus at all, you probably are not helping you get from here to there with Jesus the way you want to get from here to there when you're in this. Your top five friends, or you're the average of them emotionally. Why? Because birds of the same feather flock together. How many of you guys remember when you were little or younger? When I was younger, and that was a long time ago, but I remember this. I'd sometimes have a sleepover at my friend's house, and I would come home with an attitude. How many of you guys remember those days? And my mom would say a statement like this: I don't like how you act when you hang out with so-and-so. Why? Because the people you hang around. How many want to know people have a life and they have a spirit? And sometimes you can pick up their spirit. So it's important to have the right float mates. And so they can make you stronger spiritually. They make you stronger financially, morally, physically. Show me your friends. I'll show you your future. Now, with that said, I want to share three truths regarding the right float mates. Number one, the first fruit truth is growing from here to there is a team sport. That's the truth. If you want to go from here to there, you got to grow and you got to row, and that is a team sport. I love what Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17 says. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. A time like this. A friend that's like a brother who sticks closer to them. A friend was born to walk you through adversity. In fact, in Hebrews, I love what Paul says. Let's cross it aside. There's a group. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us, that's a team sport, not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Growing from here to there, and rowing from here to there is a team sport. Who do you have in your life? I love Woodrow Wilson made a statement once. Friendship is the only cement that will ever hold the world together. It's times like this that we're in our culture and community where maybe you're not in a great place emotionally. Maybe you're not in a great place relationally. Maybe take this season and say, God, I'm going to do a friend inventory, a friendentory. I'm going to see the type of friends I have. Do I have the right ones to go from here to there? Or you, because you can't skip here. You can't skip this if you want to go from here to there. It's a team sport. And you've got it. And so my question is this: do you have the right people? So this brings up the second point. Is number two, your float mates will either anchor you or sink you. Your float mates. In fact, let's break down. The float mates are those in the boat with you, but guess what? What are we talking about? We're talking about friendships. Friendships. We're talking about friendships. Ship, boats, relationships. Do you have the right float mates? In fact, I want to break down the anchor and the sink you, and could I call it, do you have anchor ships? Do you have friends that anchor you in seasons of this, when life, do you have the right people paling the water out of your boat? Or do you have people trying to pour water in your boat? And they're your sink ships. They're sinking your ship. You're trying to go from here to there. And there's some of you listening right now, you have the wrong people on your boat. In fact, I've shared this before years ago as a youth pastor, that if someone is on an airplane. Now, I know right now we've kind of stopped a lot of travel from cities to cities and different countries, but if I hopped on an airplane and I was heading for a remote island with no COVID-19 virus cases, but there was people on my plane heading for Italy, let me tell you right now, if I get to the next airport and there's a layover, I'm not going to go to the same airplane of those people going to Italy. I'm going to hop on a different airplane. The problem is some of us try to take everyone on our plane with us, or sometimes we bypass our plans and hop on their plane. And friends, here's the deal. If your friends aren't going where you're going, then you can't let them on your plane. You can't let them on your boat, if I could use it that way. Some of you have sink mates. In Proverbs, it says this. It says, walk with the wise, or float with the wise and become wise. for a companion of fools suffers harm. Bible goes on and says this in 1 Corinthians, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Bad company corrupts good character. Again, show me your friends, they'll show you your future. I want to do a quick friend inventory with you right now. I want to talk about three anchorships we need, three types of relationships. And right now in your season, maybe life has slowed down. I don't think it's slowed down one bit. For me, I feel like I'm busier than I've ever been. I've been on the phone more than I've ever been. I've been on Zoom meetings more than I've ever been. But here's what I know. We need three anchorships, three relationships that anchor us during storms. Number one, the first type of relationship we need is a Samuel. A Samuel is a friend who makes you better. In 1 Samuel, Israel wanted the king, and they asked for a king, and then there were some problems, and so God sends prophet Samuel out to find and anoint the next king. And he goes to David's house, and all of David's brothers line up, and one by one, the Lord says, that's not the one, that's not the one, that's not the one. And Samuel said to David's father, is there any other sons? And he goes, yes, I've got one more. His name's David. He's young. And so he goes and gets David and brings him in. And the Holy Spirit speaks to David or speaks to Samuel that that's the one. And I remember the father's debating with him, like, why isn't it? And Samuel makes a comment that says, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. And then it says this, then the Lord said, rise and anoint him, meaning David. This is the one. So Samuel took the horn of oil, anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, from that day that someone named Samuel stepped in and influenced David's life, it says this, from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. Who are the people around you that the Spirit of God, when they're around you, come upon you and make you better? Not worse, better. My mom said, I don't like your attitude when you come home from their house. I picked up the spirit from them, negative spirit, a negative attitude. Who are the people? Who are your float mates? Life's a team sport. You want to go from here to there. It's a team sport. You need some anchorships. You need the right relationships to anchor. You need Samuels. The second type of anchorship you need is you need a Jonathan. It's a friend who helps you find spiritual strength. You know, if you read the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel this week, in fact, I encourage you to do that. Great story. It's a historical narrative. It's a story of early Israel. And there's a story where David kills Goliath. And after that, you know, he comes, walks back through the cities. And there's people chanting in the streets that, you know, Saul has killed his thousands, but David's killed his tens of thousands. And Saul became insecure. Saul was concerned about how he was seen in the community. He got jealous, overwhelmed, and tried to actually kill David. Now, Jonathan, who happened to be Saul's younger son, became a friend of David. And it says this, I love it. While David was at Horesh in the desert of Ziph, he learned that Saul had come to take his life, and Saul's son Jonathan went to David at Horesh and helped him find strength in God. I love this. It says that Jonathan helped David find spiritual strength. If you're here and you're going to there and you're stuck in the storm of this, and for David, it was the desert of Horesh and the desert of Ziph, and he's stuck in a difficult circumstance, but Jonathan can step in and give spiritual strength. Who do you have as an anchor ship, as a float mate in your boat, a friendship? In this journey of life that's a team sport, who do you have that can speak life to you? There's the 12 disciples there in that boat. And somewhere along the line in that boat, one of them might have said, why don't you wake Jesus up and ask him to help? We all look and think, why was Jesus asleep? I think, praise God for 12 people who finally said, You know, guys, the answer to our needs in our boat right now, let's have him help us. His name's Jesus. If you're in a storm right now, I hope you have the right friends. The problem is some of you have sink mates, not anchor ships. You have sink ships. You have people in your life that will help you sink. They don't help you stay up. They don't anchor you in a storm. They don't anchor you, they yank you. They take you off course. Some of you have people who aren't, they're not helping you, they're using you. They're trying to get to their there, and they're pulling you into their this, and they have no idea how to strengthen you. They just want to pull you down with them. We need to be careful our friendships. The third type of anchor ship is we all need a Nathan. That's a friend who tells you the truth. You know, there's a time in David's life in 2 Samuel chapter 12 that in chapter 11, 12, David gets up in the morning and it says in the springtime, so when kings go off to war, David wasn't at war. And David was actually, he'd woken up and he looks out and he sees a naked woman bathing. Her name's Bathsheba. And he should have just kind of turned around and not looked, but he actually inquired of his servants, who's that woman, and found out she's a married woman, and found out that her husband's on the front lines in the military, and he actually calls his servants, go get her, bring her to me, and he actually sleeps with her, and she gets pregnant, and so to cover it up, he tries to bring in Bathsheba's husband to make it look like Bathsheba's husband got her pregnant, but he wouldn't sleep with her because all the men wouldn't be able to sleep with their wives. And so David sends Bathsheba's husband to the front lines to be killed. And then David marries her to make it look like he's sweeping in and he's taking on the wife of a military hero that passed on. And Nathan shows up, a friend. And he tells a story. He says, David, I want to tell you a story. There was a gentleman who had a friend come in out of town, and this master wanted to throw a big party for his friend, so he goes and has his servant get his neighbor's sheep and has his neighbor's sheep killed so that he could provide a meal for his friend. And David's angry and says, it's wrong. He should have used his own lamb. He shouldn't have killed someone else's lamb so that they could partake of that as a celebration. And Nathan goes, and look at Nathan's comments. It says, then Nathan said to David, you are the man. You're the one. You're the one that had Uriah killed. You're the one that had someone else's lamb killed. David needed that truth. And how many of us need someone in our life that will tell us the truth and not what we just want to hear? We all do. Hey, you know, we're all in this together. We're all in this global pandemic. But I want to encourage you in this season right now where maybe you're thinking of life a little differently. You're thinking of how small and how connected we really are, but maybe how disconnected you really are from having the right friendships. Do a friend in Tori and ask yourself, do I have the right float mates on my boat? Do I have the right people on my boat? The last principle I want to leave with today, and that's this. I have a question for you. The question I have for your this is this. Is Jesus your sleeping float mate, or is your life preserver? Is Jesus your sleeping float mate or your life preserver? And people preach this message and they say, you know, have you ever been in a storm where you feel like Jesus is asleep? And now here's what I just want you to know. Jesus is not caught off guard with our storms and the storms of life. Jesus has a peace that passes all understanding that guards hearts and minds. Jesus, just because, and when I say, is he your sleeping mate? Because maybe you think Jesus is just unaware of everything that's going on. But here's what I want to say. Jesus is not unaware of what's going on. He's there through everything that's going on. But he looks at it and processes everything differently than you emotionally. He's able to rest in the storms when sometimes the storms stress us out. But Jesus is there. But sometimes he might be your sleep. Jesus just is asleep. He doesn't care what's going on globally. What's the problem with pain in the world? Yeah, I don't know. But there's people out there blaming God for problems, blaming God for situations. He's just a sleeping God, unaware. If God was really real, we wouldn't be going through this. You could look at it that way, or you could say, God, there's no way I can get through this situation right now without you as my life preserver. I remember years ago, my wife and I walked through a season where we lost a child. And I remember we went to the emergency room and they said, the product of your conception is no longer alive. And I said, excuse me? They said, the product, I said, it's not a product of conception. That's a baby inside my mother, inside my wife's womb. Don't call her the product of your, well, the product, I said, call it a baby. It's a baby and the baby's dead. Inside my wife's womb, at least give us the dignity of understanding there's something, a human life is no longer living. And I remember my wife, we lost that baby, and it was tough. We had to walk through this, but there's no way to get from here to there without walking through this. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You've lost children. You've lost loved ones. You've lost careers in this situation. I don't know, but I can tell you what happened with us. My wife and I, this was on a Tuesday, and we had Wednesday night church, and my wife and I decided we weren't going to preach, but we had a worship night that night. And my wife and I showed up in the back during worship. And we're in the back worship. People say, Mark, I don't know how you could be here right now walking through this. And I'm thinking like, I don't know what would happen right now if I wasn't able to worship the Almighty God. He's not my sleeping float mate. He's my life preserver. And for you, he's not asleep. Now, you could see him as asleep right now and unaware, or you could say, God, you're my life preserver. And I want you, God, would you stand up and calm my storms? And so I want to give you today as I close what I would call life-preserving prayer, how to pray to your life preserver, how to pray to Jesus, your life preserver. Number one, start by praising him for who he is and what he's done. That's the P of prayer. Praise him. Start to praise him. Number two. Next, repent, which simply means admit your shortcomings and commit to do a complete 180. God, I want to thank you for who you are. And God, right now I repent of my wrongdoings. I want to change my life. And thirdly, I want to then ask God for whatever it is you want to ask of him. You praise him, you repent, now you ask. And then the why of prayer is finally yield to his plan and purpose. God, I don't know what you have in this circumstance right now, but I yield myself to you. Now, the only way to get from here to there is through a place called this. And whatever it is that you're walking through right now, I want to encourage you to make sure you have the right friends in your life. You know, as I close in prayer, I want to encourage you. If you missed the video announcement earlier, the different things going on at True North, we have life groups we're launching right now. In fact, there's a few folks in my life group this session that have never attended our church physically, but they've attended us online like you are right now. And they're in my life group. We have 22 life groups. We have care groups right now. If you're walking through a divorce right now, go to our website, truenorthak.org, and we have care groups and care. We have divorce care. You're walking through a divorce, hop into a care group right now. You're walking through the loss of a loved one, we have grief share. You're walking through addictive behaviors, trying to recalibrate your life and get through your this is a storm, hop into care. Life groups, if you need the right friendships, now I know they're online groups. It's not like the same as coming into a bedroom. The cool thing is you can wear your pajama pants and just put a nice shirt on and no one would ever know on our virtual life groups, our online life groups. But I want to encourage you, again, plug into a life group. Find the right anchorships, the right friendships that will anchor you, not sink you. I want to pray over you today. Would you bow your heads wherever you're at? Lord, I thank you for this day. Lord, I pray as we walk and row and grow from here to there, and we go through the this of life, whatever the this is for us, the circumstances we're currently in, help us find the right float mates. Help us have float mates that point us to Jesus, not as a sleeping Jesus, but as a life-preserving Jesus who can stand up as power over our this, over our circumstances, over our situations. I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you were encouraged by this message. For more information and other resources, please visit truenorthak.org.